Welcome to Macquarie University's podcast, Leading Lights, showcasing the world-changing research that's happening on Macquarie University's campus every single day. We talk to the pioneering minds tackling some of the world's biggest challenges in science, technology, health, the economy, environment, and more. You can listen to this story and find many others about how Macquarie Uni's researchers are making a difference at the Lighthouse website at lighthouse.mq.edu.au. My name is Sean Britton, and I'm speaking with Dr. Alon Ullman, lecturer in Intelligence Studies and Cybersecurity, and his research partner, Dr. Stephen McComey, senior lecturer in cybersecurity from Macquarie University. Alon and Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us here. Yeah.
Stephen, I'll start with you. Just how significant was Russian hacking and digital interference during the 2016 campaign?
There was a number of tracks. There was attacks on the DNC. There were attacks on directly on the Clinton campaign. There were attacks on electoral systems within state governments. And there was a social media campaign through the IRA.
Could you expand to us a little bit more on the social media campaign?
So an organisation called the Internet Research Agency, which was based in St. Petersburg, set up by an oligarch, a Russian oligarch, was involved in what we call troll farming, and basically getting a group of people to take on identities, pretending to be American citizens, talking about political issues around the US 2016 election.
And this is less about getting to the voting machines themselves, such as it were, but stirring some of the differences that were already there.
Correct. Nothing to do with hacking any systems, just about influencing or attempting to influence people's opinions.
Alon, what was the goal of the Russian interference? Was it as simple as wanting Donald Trump elected?
We don't think so, at least from the beginning. And, you know, keep in mind they've started their operations as early as 2014 in relation to these elections. What they seem to be trying to do is stir trouble, create mischief, accentuate conflicts and create a general distrust in the political system. More generally, they also hope to achieve, and I think they did manage to achieve, a very good disruptive effect in order to just interfere with coherent policy making on the American side.
Would it be fair to say, much as many in the media expected and many of the pundits expected, the Russians themselves were expecting Hillary Clinton to take the presidency away in 2016 and were looking to have knock-on effects from that?
Well, I think most people would have thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. The Russians were making inroads into any campaigns they could. They tried to also influence reach out to Bernie Sanders' campaign, and they then capitalized on the success of Donald Trump, which was one of those unintended consequences of the election. They did not produce Trump's victory, but once Trump won, they were ready to make the most of it.
How have Democrats and intelligence agencies amplified the role in which Russian interference played in the 2016 election?
I think in a lot of ways they've supported this view that the Russians influenced that result. It's been called the greatest intelligence coup of all time, I think, by Michael Hayden, who was a former NSA chief. In addition, the media has actually followed that view that the Russian social media campaign got Trump across the line. But I think the reality is somewhat different if you look at in a bit more detail at the actual results.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing here is a combination of two elements. One, there's the contagion. The Russians are illegitimate players in American politics, and by being associated, giving at least in this case Donald Trump's campaign their bear hug, they actually serve to taint it and create a nice target for those who might feel that their involvement there is unnecessary, and the intelligence community has the role of trying to prevent foreign interference in American politics. Add to that the implausible deniability. The Russians have been going out of their way to deny in the most unbelievable fashion any involvement in order to just create the impression that they've had a major involvement in the election. And so what happens, this combination of implausibility and contagion has put the American intelligence community in an impossible situation. Either they allow what appears to be a foreign involvement in the election process to just go ahead, or they have to do something about it, increase the pressure on the White House, and create exactly the effect that the Russians wanted to achieve in the first place, and that is disrupt the policy coherence and processes of the United States.
We see, of course, this obsession, you might say, around the Mueller report, which is coming out this Thursday, this week. The Mueller report's 400 pages, fairly thorough document, you would expect, fairly thorough documentation of what the processes were that were involved. But is it going to really solve anything, or is it going to be a mirror that many different views can be gleaned from in terms of what actually happened?
I mean, probably the latter, but, you know, it's like anything. We haven't read it yet either. So I think the reality, if you look at the indictments, it tells you a lot about the evidence that Mueller gathered and the approach they took. So I think that that's informative in terms of what the report will say.
Yeah, I mean, we know that there's no... there appears to be no direct evidence of collusion, at least not something that will meet legal requirements for conviction. Whether there is or isn't any evidence for obstruction of justice is another point. But all that, in a way, is a red herring, because the Russian involvement did not need to have direct collusion. The Russians' gambit was quite beautiful in that, without even any... without any cooperation from the Trump campaign, they could still achieve the effect of discrediting the political process and creating this mischief between Trump and the intelligence community, law enforcement, and the opposition within the US.
It's worth considering, though, also when we look at maybe the flip side of the coin, the Russians and opposition discrediting the process. Donald Trump has claimed repeatedly that he won the popular vote. And if he didn't, well, the only reason he didn't was because illegal immigrants were shipped in to vote for Hillary Clinton. So really, on both sides, we see the institutions seem to come more and more under attack.
Yeah, I think certainly Trump does the Russians' work for them in terms of, you know, bringing discredit to the American democratic system. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, that the Russians can count themselves lucky. But I think the main failure, I mean, the main thing the Americans should consider is the fact that in the election they had two unelectable candidates competing with each other. And really, Hillary Clinton should take more credit for Trump's victory than Vladimir Putin can. So there's a crisis in the American democracy, and it's only that crisis and that problem that allowed a campaign like the Kremlin's influence campaign to succeed. Covert action does not create crises, it exploits existing problems, and that this is just another case where an existing political crisis, a big one within the United States, has allowed the Russians in this case to interfere.
Might expand on that point in a moment, but first, in recent days, the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has said the world no longer trusts the US to lead, and that a liberal order marked by globalization was losing its attractiveness and is no more viewed as a perfect model for all. How would you view those comments in the context we're talking about here?
Well, definitely the success in the interference in the US elections has contributed to this kind of discourse that spreads across the world. It's not only the US and it's not only the Russian involvement. You can see the same illiberal tendencies elsewhere, places like Hungary and so forth, where you have quite strong illiberal forces subverting or at least operating against the existing or the recently former dominant perspectives in world politics. But definitely that's part of the Russian involvement in the US election is part of this global process.
Coming into the 2020 campaign season, Americans are going to be a lot less likely to trust, the polls. But are they going to be able to trust their institutions to deliver a fair and democratic election result?
I think the problem is, you know, perhaps they can trust them. Whether they will trust them is another question.
Yeah, I think there probably will be more faith in this time, or this time around, in the institutions. A lot will depend on who runs and what the election shapes, what the election ends up, you know, looking like. On the Democratic side, we have now a huge number of potential candidates. We'll see how that narrows down, and we'll see who runs on the Republican side. Definitely many of the Trump supporters are going to feel like the election process is not fair. Many of them blame the media already for subverting Trump's presidency, and Trump is going to make the most of what of those impressions. More generally, I think we'll have to wait and see, but I don't think there'll be as much a crisis this time round as there was in the previous election.
One thing I'd like to say, though, is that one of the ironies of 2016 was that there was a concern that Trump wouldn't accept the result if he lost. I think that's, if he loses in the next election, that might be the case again. He may not accept that result.
Mm. Well, that exactly is my question. We assume in 2020 Donald Trump would lose the presidency. That's far from a safe assumption. But if we were to assume that, and Donald Trump continues with the same behavior of conspiracy, rigging, fake news, are we going to likely to see, well, just how serious the American divide can become?
And another irony is the fact that the work of the intelligence agencies and the liberal press actually probably amplified that lack of trust in the potential result.
Yeah, I think it's something that the American legal system and the intelligence community must take into account. There will be possible fringe groups also that will respond in more of a violent way to any election results.
Well, I think it's undeniable that Donald Trump is going to continue to be Donald Trump, but in terms of repairing this divide, how would you see American politicians and American institutions best go about repairing that trust deficit?
Well, I think there's a major trust deficit beyond the candidates and the political parties, and the inequality in the US is growing, and there's a whole distrust in the political system, and that is the background to what happened in 2016. Whether the American political class is able to do something about it, I'm not sure. I suppose we'll just have to wait and see. But we're definitely seeing major shifts in the way American politics happens, and we seem to have the sense that we're in uncharted territory and we're not entirely sure where we're going.
I think a lot hangs on who the Democrats end up nominating. I think that's going to be so key. And as Alon was talking about, the problem with Hillary Clinton is the hell of her unpopularity at the time, you know, created the opportunity to build those divides. So someone that more of a uniting leader is really key. Whether that person exists, I don't know, but that's going to be so important.
Yeah, and perhaps another interesting thing was the fact that the pundits and the pollsters got it so wrong in 2016, which is so unusual. And it does show that somewhere the political class, if you like, in the US has lost touch or visibility of where the people are. And that in itself was a shock that I think the American mainstream has not yet recovered from.
And one of the upshots of the fact that there was this assumption that Clinton was going to win was that Obama was very careful about actually calling out the Russians too aggressively during the election, because he assumed she would win, therefore it would just look like he was being a spoiler, not realising that Trump was going to win.
Alon and Steve, thank you very much. I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.